Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime or whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, this is an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm here with my co-host, Austin. Hi, Austin.
Mew. Mew, 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 mew. Mew.
Oh my gosh. There's a Mew in Austin's apartment.
There's a Mew in my mouth, apparently. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that. Oh my God. Well, I especially shouldn't say that after all the leaks we just had. We'll get to that in a second.
You're leaking leaks right out of your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so lots to talk about this week, I think. Let's just kick it off. What have we been up to?
Let's start by saying it's episode 151.
Yes! Oh my gosh, can you believe it?
That's why Mew dropped by to make a cameo.
How exciting.
So, everyone should leave a 5-star review because we haven't gotten one in 2 years and we desperately need them. So, you should do that as a birthday present to us.
Can you leave a review if you've already left a review?
No, you cannot. You can it on another streaming platform, but other than that.
Yeah, you can pad out those reviews. We love that. 151 episodes of pure entertainment.
Okay, we gotta talk about the leak.
Okay, I know you've been chomping at the bit to talk about the leak. I don't know much about the leak. Austin knows more, so what do you know? What can you tell us?
All sorts of crazy stuff. I love stuff like this. I love development kind of things.
So, just a little background, I guess, if nobody's familiar with this, which I'm sure you guys are, but there was like a data hack or a breach.
Right.
Or something. I don't know how that happened.
I don't know the details, and nor do I want to know.
That's kind of wild, though. Can you imagine? I always think of, like, I love it, like you said, but I also think about the, like, the developers and, like, the executive side. Like, what do you think they're saying? Are they going crazy? Are they, like,
here's the thing.
Panicking?
Apparently, people's actual personal information was leaked.
Okay, see, that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I have not seen that. Maybe it's only in Japanese. I don't know. But I certainly hope that's not available to anyone. You know, see, I think it is, though. I think it's in the data.
You know what? Speaking of leaks, and we can circle back to the Pokemon leaks because that's the big one. I actually didn't know this, but I was going to watch the Pokemon episodes for this week and discovered that my usual place, because I watched them on
archive.org.
Yeah. Wayback Machine. Apparently that was hacked as well. Compromised.
Yeah. I have not been able to watch things on there for days.
Yeah, which, you know, archive.org is, you know, obviously an archive for a lot of different things, and there's a huge amount of data on there, and I just happened to try to, like, log in to watch the episodes, and it wasn't working, so I Googled it, and there was all kinds of articles that came up, and I was like, oh my god, what is happening? It's, like, October, like, data breach month? What is going on?
Do they have an estimate on when it's going to be back up?
Not definitively. They hope in a few days, but I'm not sure. Mm. I hope nothing was lost.
I hope so, too.
I just don't know. I mean, I don't know why people, you know, do data breaches and hack things. I mean, just leave people. It's one thing to, like, get information on a product or whatever, but, like, leave people's personal data out of it.
Right. I mean, like, it is a crime.
Yes, of course it's a crime.
It's a crime. Like, it's stealing information. Well, first of all, the private information of people. That absolutely no go. But stealing private data of a company is a crime. But you know what? It's a fun crime, and I enjoy it. And I will look at this shit.
There's something very different about looking at, oh, here's some Gen 3 beta sprites versus, like, oh, here's some people's, like, social security number. Like, that's completely
different. Yeah, that's unforgettable.
Different.
But, oh, man, I am loving it. This has everything. It has Pokemon beta designs, character notes and sheets. Has information on the anime.
Ooh, which, do you know, like, details on that, or?
I know what I've been able to find.
Okay, maybe we could talk about it with a leak disclaimer warning in a second. I was gonna say, do you think it would be better if the Pokemon Company, Game Freak, whatever, what if they just made it part of their normal, like, operations? Like, if they can get ahead of leaks, then it wouldn't be so egregious if it happened.
If they were more transparent about the development process? I agree. They should be.
Okay. Think about it like this. You go through a development cycle. You have the Gen 3 beta sprites. I'm just using that one as an example. Why not just post or share or compile or whatever?
Or release an art book.
Release an art book. Yeah, they can even monetize it. Even if they, like, I guess we can make a commentary on a cash grab. I mean, Pokemon's the biggest cash grab of all time. Whatever, we love it. But yeah, release the art book. Release a collector's edition. Release some kind of something so they can get in front of it in an official way and say, here was our designs during the development cycle of Gen 2, 3, whatever.
I will say specifically for Pokemon, they're in a weird position. And I agree. I think they should release that stuff just because I think it's fun. But they reuse stuff. There's a lot of stuff that we're finding in this, we are finding as if I'm a data hacker, that people are finding that like Scraggy in Generation 3.
But it's been so long. Like, with that kind of stuff, it's been so long. But what I mean to say is
you never know what's going to come back or be used in some other way.
Why not curate it then? Like, they can still easily post some of that stuff or, you know, create an art book out of it. Like, the Scraggy design or the beta Sharpedo or Metagross design. Like, that's already happened. They've already used it. That ship has sailed. They can curate those and put, like, here's what it would have been.
No, I agree. It would be cool. I'm trying to think from like a business perspective, you know?
Yeah, and I completely understand that. They can keep the stuff, like things and assets that they might reuse or potentially draw inspiration from down the line. Of course, that's trade secrets. They can keep it, whatever. I'm talking about the stuff that's absolutely already been used and we know about for like 20 years. Like, that's not a secret. All right, so in terms of like what are the other leaks that we know about, and this is spoiler stuff if you don't want to listen to this, then skip ahead.
All right, anime-wise.
Yeah, there's some leaks regarding the anime. There's some leaks regarding the upcoming games, I think.
Yes.
So tell us what you know, Austin.
From what I glimpsed on the internet / Twitter, they had a concept for the overall outline for the Horizons anime. Did you see that?
I may have seen a little bit, but I can't remember specifics. I did see something in regards to them having internal discussion about leaving Ash.
Yeah, that was the most interesting part of the leak to me.
That they actually thought about this stuff?
The meeting notes on how they were going to approach the Ash and Pikachu exit.
Yeah.
And there was some crazy stuff. They were talking about how people, specifically on Twitter, and specifically international fans, English-speaking fandom, were sending death threats to them over...
What the fuck? Okay, I didn't hear that. Dexit. Well, okay, I do remember the Dexit thing, but I didn't know that it got that crazy or insane.
So they were like, we have to be careful about the Pikachu and Ash thing, because people might try and kill us.
Okay, I say this in the most loving and concerned citizen way I can possibly say this. What is wrong with you people out there that hopefully nobody who is a fan of ours is one of these insane people, but like, for real, how can you send a death threat to a game developer over a anime writer over Pokemon? Like,
well, you know about the arson thing?
No.
They specifically mentioned that. Do you remember when the Kyoto Animation Studio?
Oh, I do remember that, but I didn't know.
And like, tons of people were killed.
That's insane.
There's just a lot of freaks out there.
There
I don't
are
know
some,
what to say.
Yeah, but I did. So we read about that and about how the one point I read was like back to the Ash thing, how the viewer ratings were going down. So they were like, Okay, this is, yeah, time to kind of maybe switch it up a little bit.
I wonder how Horizons is doing. I haven't been keeping track.
Is there even a metric against like?
I don't know. Don't ask me.
I'd be interested to know, like, if they did, like, at least in as far as American audiences, like Nielsen ratings or something. Like,
well, it'd be Netflix ratings, which are notoriously
horrible.
Notoriously, you can't access them.
You want to know a fun fact? Speaking of Nielsen, you know that, okay, so in America, there's a, like, television rating company kind of focus group type thing called Nielsen.
Do they still operate?
I don't know if they still operate. I actually don't know. If they don't do, like, regular people, like, polling of regular people, they might operate as far as, like, a aggregate for ratings. I don't know. But once upon a time, I remember years ago, this is maybe, like, 20 years ago.
Were you a Nielsen family?
We were. I don't
know. Oh, my God.
I have no idea how my dad got into this. I have no idea. But they sent us, like, a box.
I think they randomly selected people.
Yeah, it might have just come in the mail. Been like, hey, do you want to, like, do this? And I can't remember how long we had to do it for. Maybe, like, a month or two. I can't remember. But, like, literally every time we watched anything on TV, they gave us, like, a special box with a special remote that we had to use to like log what we were watching. It was crazy.
I always wanted that.
Maybe you should reach out and be like, hey, Nielsen, you still operating? I want to be a Nielsen family.
I don't know if it's still a thing.
Probably not.
I think our technology has advanced. I mean, all of our data, every single thing we do is recorded and logged and kept by companies that sell it to one another to advertise to us.
Oh, there's a, I would go through this. This is so interesting. Nielsen has a Wikipedia article. You can go and look and see what the top rated programs in the U.S. are and the years like that currently? It was. Okay, let's see. I'm just going to scroll down.
Currently?
Yeah. Oh, well.
I'm going to guess it's The Bachelor.
Okay, for some reason, 2020 and forward does not have ratings. So did they like stop? Okay, as of 2019, the most recent result was NBC Sunday Night Football.
Oh, I didn't realize you were completing sports. I thought that'd be a separate thing.
Why did they stop in 2020? There's literally, that's 4 years ago.
All right, I'm going to refocus us, Alex. You got to put the phone down.
Okay,
down.
All right. I'm getting off track.
No. Us?
Never.
No. Okay, all the right. Other thing anime relevant was the movie.
The movie?
I knew there was going to be a 24th Pokemon movie, but it looks like it's not happening.
Oh, wait, so it's not happening.
The date targeted was 2023, and here we are.
So what was the proposed plot of this failed movie?
An Ashless movie. That nonetheless takes place in Kanto.
Of course.
They said it was targeting an older audience. It seems wild.
Oh, wasn't it about like older like women?
Older women? I don't know about this. What's that?
Is the movie different? You said something about Mew, and I heard something about like...
Yeah, Mew was in the movie.
Yeah, it was supposed to target like older women audiences.
Oh, was it specifically targeting female audiences?
That's interesting. Yes.
Cool.
Something about a Mew.
It's wild. Read it up on it.
Okay, what else? There was some information about the upcoming games, Gen 10.
Mm-hmm. There's really nothing to say about that.
All I know is that there's going to be references to Kanto, Gen 1, and I'm like, please.
I had not seen that yet, but there always is.
Sure.
Is the sun gonna rise in the east and set in the west too?
Aren't the Earth's poles reversing and shit? Who knows?
All right. I think the last big thing is the spicy lore.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen the Typhlosion?
Yes. The stuff, yokai
artillery. Yeah.
Oh my god! Like the yokai stories.
Like the Pokemon. It's great Greek mythology with Pokemon kind of stuff.
The artillery one was wild.
Everyone's talking about the Typhlosion. I think the artillery one's way worse.
The Octillery one's a reference to A Dream of the Fisherman's Wife.
Oh, okay.
Which is a wild story on its own. But the Typhlosion one was interesting.
Everyone be fucking Pokemon.
Well, all the stories are like, from a time when the lines between human and Pokemon were blurred. So we're all kind of half Pokemon, half human anyway.
I like how the woman who fucked a Typhlosion, the townspeople mock her by taking the Typhlosion pelt and putting it on her.
That's kind of fucked up.
That's really fucked up.
They take the pelt of her dead husband slash kidnapper and then like put his like skin on her.
Yeah.
Like that's fucked up. I did read another one about the origin of Dialga and Palkia.
I haven't actually read that yet.
It was pretty good. It was a human man and a goddess. So.
Who was a human man?
Arceus was like a goddess and met and fell in love with a human man.
What?
And had Dialga and Palkia.
I did not know this. I need to read this.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Really interesting stuff.
I like the Tree of Life of Pokemon gods thing. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
It's like a relationship chart that shows all the legendaries.
Oh, cute.
And it's actually canon because it appears in Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
Oh, I love that.
It's so cool.
So, okay. So is that all we have to share on the leaks?
Oh my God. We've been talking about it for like 20 minutes now. Yes.
Okay. If you've skipped ahead this far, oh my God, we've done talked about it. We've done talked all we can talk about it. So
Let's just do week talk real quick. We went to go to an apple orchard. We picked some apples. We fought the crowds at the apple market.
I thought you were going to say fought the crabs, and I'm like, when did we fight the crabs?
We saw Jacob.
Yeah, we did. We saw Jacob. We saw Leslie. Very nice meeting.
Oh, Christina. Y'all know who Christina is.
Friend of the pod. She's been on the pod before.
Hey, Christina.
Josh was there as well.
Oh, yeah. Josh was also on the podcast.
He was. So what else? Okay, so we went to the apple orchard, which I will say was way more exciting than the apple festival we went to last year. There were actually apples involved this time, so that was thrilling.
I bought so much apple shit.
We did buy so much apple shit. Okay, so what else? That was it, really.
That's it. My computer's taking off into space.
Oh, I did want to mention, I started watching, or almost finished, because there's only four episodes. I watched up to episode 3 of Uzumaki.
I did too.
Oh, God. I have thoughts.
What do you think? Okay, we have a lot to talk about Uzumaki.
Pokemon's just going to have to wait for a second.
Yeah. I read the manga.
I did not. Oh, you did?
Yeah, earlier in the year when I had the Viz Media app trial. I read the manga.
Awesome.
And the manga is just a series of episodic events. And the anime makes it so they're all happening all at once.
Oh, I see. So there's no real... Is it different protagonists? Different?
No, it's always the same girl.
So these things are happening independent of each other.
Right. Like I think they were trying to be like, everything's happening all at once because we're spiraling here.
I don't know much about the actual manga. I know that there was a little bit of drama and controversy around it because apparently this anime has been in production for several years now. And there was some kind of behind-the-scenes fuckery production-wise where the first episode was very good quality animation-wise. And then episode 2 has a very noticeable dip in quality and it's very, very jarring.
Oh my god, the running animation.
It's so bad.
It was so bad.
The talking animations, the running, the hair, like just... There's a lot about it that you're like, what the fuck happened? Especially because the first episode is so good.
And I was really looking forward to specifically the hair.
Yes.
Part, like the out of control hair. And I thought that was going to look so good. And then like it didn't at all.
I know. I saw an article on it. And I think the executive producer was like, we had a few options. We had, you know, option A, which was release episode 1 and nothing else. Or release nothing and call it a loss. You know, and all that hard work goes down the drain. Or then like, you know, option C, release what we had and then just say, fuck it, the rest is going to be shitty. And that's what they went with. You know, honestly, I'm not really sure. And I probably don't have a lot of room to talk here because I don't have any production understanding or animation background or anything, of course. But I feel like at that point, you should just say, we need more time. Like whatever sort of internal drama is going on. Like I understand it's really horrible to wait for something for so long and then have it delayed again. But I would rather show my absolute best work. Like, obviously, that's not a true reflection of what they can do, you know? I don't know.
We were robbed.
It feels like that. And I'm not even a fan of it. I just was interested in it because you talked about it and people at work were talking about it. So I was like, oh, I'll just give it a try.
I talked about it?
I think you might have mentioned it once.
Oh.
Be like, oh, have you watched it yet or something? I don't know.
My laptop could not be making more noise if it was like a hairdryer.
It's spiraling.
Oh my god, it is spiraling. My whole life is spiraling. All the time.
You have spirals in your ears.
Oh my gosh. Do you know what's going to happen in the last episode? Do you have any idea?
I have zero idea.
Okay, I don't know how they're going to fit all that content into one more episode.
The last thing I'll say is I heard some people discussing it and were very shocked that each episode was only half an hour. You know, with it being a 4-episode limited series.
It should have been 12 episodes.
Well, should it have been 12 or should it have been an hour each?
Okay, that'd be like 8.
Yeah.
Because it is breakneck. It is go, 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 go.
So you know how, well, obviously you know how it is.
I read the manga, yeah.
Are you satisfied with the ending?
The ending's wild.
Huh. Any other things you want to discuss or have updates for us, Austin? Or should we jump right into our episodes?
I think I'm going to take a hammer to this laptop, because I may as well at this point. It wouldn't work any worse.
It's trying its best. I do hear fan, though.
Oh really my god, sounds. Of course you do. It's so fucking loud.
Well, you have the laptop sitting on a wooden desk, so of course I hear the air, the sound vibrating.
What can I put it on? Should I muffle it?
No, because you'll just make it overheat more.
Yeah, that didn't do anything. Where else am I supposed to put it? It's not on a wooden desk.
That's it. That's where you have to put it. Maybe you got too many tabs open.
Oh, actually, it's quieting down. Okay, let's transition now.
So, this week, we have another Imposter Oak adjacent theme going. And this is, will the real Oak please stand up? And Wish Upon a Star Shape.
All right, heads or tails?
I like tails.
Okay, you're doing the 30-second summary, and I'm doing the main thrust of Oak.
Oh, perfect.
Great. I'm glad it's happening while my laptop's making so much noise.
The better of the two episodes.
All right, get ready. 3, 2, 1, go.
So Slim Shady is here and he stood up Psych, just kidding. Actually, it's Ash and friends, and they are in town, Maroon Town, for Ash's, or not Ash's, they are in Maroon Town for Oak's radio show, featuring DJ Mary. They go to Maroon Town, where they discover that there's already a Professor Oak and DJ Mary there, and they're imposters. And the imposters have to prove themselves that they're the true Oak and Mary, and they discover that Oak is the real Oak after all.
Time.
Yeah.
Shut up, laptop. Okay, we are at a hamburger joint. And as all hamburger joints do, they play talk radio to the patrons. Yes, Alex?
I have a question. Yep. Josh was wondering, because he watched this episode with me. Were those burgers originally, or did they change the burgers?
As far as I'm aware, they were burgers originally.
Okay.
We haven't gotten that far into the dub edits yet.
Not a jelly donut situation, then?
I do kind of wonder if 4Kids was spending too much money, and that's the reason why they got the license revoked.
Why can't they just keep it the way it is? Like, kids can't understand that there's different foods from different cultures and be like, oh, it's a fucking onigiri. That's nothing weird.
All right, we'll get there when we get there.
Whatever.
So we're eating some burgers in all languages, and Professor Oak is actually, it turns out, to be like an Alex Jones type figure because he's promoting conspiracy theories that Starmies are communicating with aliens from space. And Ash is, you know, like a typical young male who's not very critical, says, that sounds about right.
Oh my God.
Misty's more skeptical.
At the risk of being canceled, I'm sure we already are canceled, but I feel like Ash would be one of those, like, Andrew Tate followers and get sucked into that manosphere rhetoric.
I think he'd be the type who's, like, when he's young, he gets absorbed into that because he's just stupid. But I think when he's older, he grows out of it.
Okay, I'm going to take it back. Maybe not Ash, but Brock, definitely.
Oh, Brock is an incel in training.
Yeah.
That's his future.
Sorry, Brock.
So, Oak and DJ Mary are going to do a live recording in Maroon Town. And the twerps are just in the area next to Maroon Town. I guess they're like in Burgundy Town or some shit. So we're going to go there tomorrow. But before we get there, Team Rocket's already arrived. And they see a bunch of posters all over town with pictures of DJ Mary and Professor Oak. And for some reason, the poster says, DJ Mary and Professor Oak will get a catered meal after the presentation.
Oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not the only person that thought that was weird as fuck. Because I literally wrote, it advertises a, quote, free lunch buffet for the stars of the show.
Right.
So that would just be Oak and Mary. Like, are they flexing on that? Like, we're going to have food, but not for you.
But only for the celebrities.
I'm glad I'm not the only person that was like, what?
Did we see other people eating the food at the end? No.
No. I thought it was going to be like, oh, small hors d'oeuvres or something for people who attend.
Right.
Like, light refreshments. Like, come to the show and have some, like, snacks. But no, it wasn't.
So, obviously, James is Imposter Professor Oak, looking nothing like the Imposter Professor Oak we're familiar with, by the way.
I'm not, I feel like I couldn't do better, but part of me wishes that they had gone a different way where there was, like, a complete, like, outsider person who was playing the Imposter Oak, like, some real true ruffian person.
I looked it up, by the way, and apparently Imposter Oak was supposed to be in Gold and Silver.
Really?
At some point.
Okay.
This was in the leaked documents, so it's new information. No, not really.
Could you imagine?
That was already leaked.
That's really disappointing. Like, I really wish that it was kind of like some run-of-the-mill street gang type person who's like, I'm going to be Professor Oak because they wanted the food or they wanted to steal something. And then, like, Jesse and James and the twerps just happened to come across this.
Nope, it's James.
But it's fucking James.
Nurse Joy appears to tell them that they're here to answer some children's questions. And these children are mostly adult actors, but there's a couple of them that are clearly actual children.
So I went on our favorite, Bulbapedia page to see if there was some mention of, like, it being a contest or whatever, because I'm like, either this was a fan contest where they had kids come in and do a little voice line, or this was somebody's kids. It had to have been.
It's got to be someone's kids.
Because these were actual children voices.
Right. Like the Dunsparce episode, weren't there actual kids in that one?
Yeah, but wasn't... Was that the one where there was a contest?
No, that was the Gary episode.
Oh, okay.
With Alex Davis.
That's right. Shout out to Alex Davis wherever you are.
So this crowd of adult children and actual children have some questions for Professor Oak. And he is incompetent in his answers, despite me out having a full encyclopedia set on hand.
To be fair, his encyclopedia was on, like, tomatoes.
It wasn't about Pokemon biology. It was about, like, vegetation.
You know, these kids squandered their opportunity. They asked some dumb fuck questions.
I don't even know what they were asked. Something about what does Farfetch carry around?
Yeah, what is it?
And they were really perturbed. They were like, is it a root or a stem? And I'm like, you're the weirdest fucking children.
I know. They wasted a perfectly good opportunity to actually learn some pertinent information, but they wasted it on fucking Farfetch'd.
One of them is Clefairy from space. Which you'd think Oak would be like, yes, it is, based on his previous conversation about Starmie.
I know. He's literally talking about how Starmie, like, beams transmissions back to the mothership, and he can't even answer this.
The next day, I think.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mary is accosted by a bunch of fat people who have cameras, and they're from the DJ Mary fan club. And for some reason, they all have the same offensive face of, like, look at these fat people. They talk like this.
I know. That was really disturbing, but...
That was something else.
That was a choice that was made.
And you'd think Jessie would be, like, all into getting attention, but she seems freaked out by it.
There was a scene where she, after she was accosted by the group with their cameras, which, to be honest, would be very jarring and unsettling to have a bunch of people just shove a bunch of cameras in their faces. I imagine if I was a famous person, I could understand their hatred for the paparazzi, just to have your privacy invaded all the time, but I digress.
Yeah, but Jessie's a wannabe.
But that's what I was saying. My question to you was, there had to have been something else that she said in the dub, because there was a scene where they're taking pictures of her and she looks very disturbed.
Right. The dialogue does not match the animation.
Yeah. And she says, her voiceover dialogue is, a girl could get used to this, like she's lapping in the attention, but the animation of her face is like she's clearly unsettled and scared. What did they actually mean to say here?
I don't know. But the next day... The twerps arrive. Actually, no. I take it back. Professor Oak and DJ Mary arrive, and they go up to Nurse Joy. Nurse Joy says, DJ Mary and Professor Oak are already here. They're right over there. And Oak and Mary are like, but we're Oak and Mary. And Joy's like, but they're Oak and Mary.
This Joy pissed me off.
I know. Joy. This is the worst Joy we've had in quite some time.
She was like, she suffered brain some kind dead. Of like brain damage or something, but.
Oh my gosh. This clone came out. She was on the bottom of the vat.
Yeah.
She didn't develop fully.
She got the scraps.
So now the twerps arrive and they magically are able to recognize the real Oak and Mary.
Ash should know, considering that's his.
Stepdaddy.
Yeah.
Slash lover.
Ah, from the past.
Misty comes up with the insane idea to have a Pokemon knowledge competition hosted by the two DJ Marys, and the judge is going to be Nurse Joy.
Can we talk about how cozy Mary is getting with Oak here?
I know, Delia, protect your man.
I know, I was like, what the fuck? This bitch is stepping over on your man, Delia. Like, what the fuck is going on?
I think we need to reflect on the fact that Oak is fucking other people.
While he's chatting up Delia.
Yeah.
He's absolutely fucking DJ Mary.
Mary's all over it.
Okay, I want to note something, because the version I watched did not have this, but maybe you have some information here.
I saw the DVD from the early 2000s.
Okay, so did you get the scene where, all right, according to Bulbapedia, this is what it says. The scene where DJ Mary and Professor Oak confront Jesse and James in their disguises was cut short for the broadcast version of the dub and the first U.S. home video release. After DJ Mary says to Jesse that she is the real Mary, Jesse starts shouting at Mary and Oak that she's the real Mary. DJ Mary is terrified of Jesse's behavior, and so she holds on to Oak, jumping up and down with her eyes closed in terror while holding on to him. This was cut from the dub because it looked like a sex act.
Okay, that was not in the version I saw, which was probably the first DVD release.
Okay, so it says, with this cut, because the part I saw was just, like, her inexplicably holding on to him.
Yes, I saw that.
This says, with this cut, DJ Mary holds on to Oak in fear of Team Rocket for no reason at all. So it cuts out the part where she's, like, humping him.
Okay, did you see the humping?
No, that's what I was asking.
Okay, is there any version of the English dub that includes the humping?
It says, however, the version streamed on Pokemon TV and Prime Video, as well as the second U.S. home release, leaves the scene intact. So I didn't know if you watched one of those versions. I did not.
I did not. Do I have to buy a second DVD set to restore this 5-second scene?
Yes, you do.
DJ Mary humping him.
Oh, man. That's okay. So, yeah, if you were wondering why she's like inexplicably like grinding on him, that's the reason.
I thought she was just horny.
Yeah. She got really familiar. And so that's what the scene that we saw was just her just inexplicably holding on to him. I was like, why are you throwing your arms around him, girl? Like, that's a familiarity I didn't know we had here.
Brock also is having reactions. Jesse as Mary is really perturbing him for some reason.
He can smell it. Yeah. He's like, you're...
They don't recognize Team Rocket at all, by the way.
But don't they? Because I have a question about this.
Okay.
To your point, you said that Misty proposes this contest of knowledge to determine the real Professor Oak from the imposter. But she then goes on to say, who's going to be the judge? Because we three, the twerps, can't do it since we already know who the real professor is. She says that.
Yeah.
So why the fuck are they even doing this?
You know what they could easily do? They could say, Pikachu, Thunderbolt him, and he would attack Team Rocket, and their disguises would incinerate and fly off and reveal who they really are. And then they could attack him again and send them blasting off again.
I mean, I guess if they wanted to cut straight to the point, but I guess they wanted to just play it up for the sake of the show, because they did
Yeah. They're just doing a crazy episode concept.
Yeah, they basically take it into their live show, so.
Which, I thought this was a fun episode, actually.
It was fun. Everybody loves a DJ Mary episode.
DJ Mary brings the quality every time.
We just talked about the Pokemon radio drama episode.
It wasn't that good, but it was fun.
I disagree. I thought it was peak.
You thought this was as good as airtime?
No, I thought airtime was way better.
No, airtime was fantastic.
That's what I mean. That episode was peak Pokemon. Like, yeah. This was entertaining along the lines of that, but airtime was absolutely way better.
Yeah, this was a good, silly concept for an episode.
Sure.
Airtime was fantastic.
Yeah, sure.
We set up an entire stage show production in like 5 seconds. Joy's going to be the judge because she's the smartest Nurse Joy around.
Debatable.
And we have three questions for this thing. The first one is, what does Poliwhirl evolve into? And then
it's slow bro.
Finger Sammy.
Slowpoke.
God damn it. Thank you. The question was,
you're the fake Professor Oak. You're the fake Professor Oak.
Oh, I got fucked up. Sorry. What does Slowpoke evolve into? And then Flying Finger Sammy buzzes in and says, Slowbro. And I thought for sure this was going to go into he buzzed in too fast. And the question was, what does Slowpoke evolve into with a King's Rock?
Oh.
But instead, the question was, Slowpoke evolves into a Slowbro. What move does Slowbro learn at level whatever?
Okay, so a couple things I feel like we needed to unpack here.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot to discuss. Oak's moniker of Flying Finger Sammy needs some attention.
Yeah, he did not get that name from playing video games. He got that name from, like, Fingering Mary.
He was a prolific lady pleaser in his day. He claims it's because he played a lot of fucking video games. Or maybe he did play a lot of fucking video games. I don't know.
Like what? Leisure Suit Larry?
Yeah. Yeah, he was just really always on his Game Boy or whatever. So he has really good hand-eye coordination or something. But yeah, we all know the real reason.
Well, he jumps the gun and he gets the question wrong.
I'm so upset. So Jamie, you know what? I'm sorry. I just thought of this. I'm mad that Ash didn't say, Sammy? Where have I heard that name before?
Ash doesn't remember anything.
That's not true. The next episode is all about remembering stuff.
Well, actually, this episode's all about this.
Okay.
Because the next... Okay, James gets the question right because he says he has amnesia. Haha.
But that's a fluke. He didn't answer, really, but whatever.
The next question is, who's that Pokemon? It's a silhouette of an Aipom tail hand thing. And Ash jumps in to say, this reminds me of season one with the ultimate test, in which I had to identify a Jigglypuff as seen from above.
That was Misty.
Did Ash not say that too?
Maybe he did and I missed it. Misty says as seen from below, which was incorrect.
Ah, Misty. Fucking LVP. No, but I was shocked. I couldn't believe that got referenced. Because that's such a famous meme now.
As seen from above. What does it say on the thing? Hold on 1 second.
Why don't we just call ourselves Bulbapedia the podcast, where we read Bulbapedia articles aloud?
Because they help supplement the...
I'm trying to get rid of it. I'm trying to move past it.
Okay, this is the last thing I'm going to say about it. It was Misty that says it was Jigglypuff as seen from below, but in actuality, it was seen from above. So there you go.
Okay, so Misty gets my LVP.
There you go.
Anyway, it's a fucking napalm. That one was boring. The last question is, write us a poem. Wobbuffet says, Wobbuffet. And they're like, yes, write us a poem about Wobbuffet. Did you write down the poems?
I didn't. Well, I can read them.
From Bulbapedia.
Yes. I wasn't going to say. I wasn't going to say. Oh, my God. You're making me say it now. All right. Do you want me to read the poems?
Go for it.
All right. James's Wobbuffet poem is, "It inflates its psychic self, but light will put it on the shelf. Wobbuffet." And then Oak's is, "Wobbuffet, when life is a mystery, it's your answer."
Stupid. I think James should have won. Joy picks Oak because the episode's over. He's the real winner. This seemed like a very bad criteria for selecting who is an imposter Oak.
How can you not talk about Joy being a level 5 master of poetry?
Because Joy pissed me off and I wanted nothing to do with her.
Oh, okay. That's a mystery for another time that we'll never talk about.
So Team Rocket is blasted off after they try to steal the catered lunch. We can't let them steal the catered lunch just for Mary and Professor Oak, so we have to kill them.
What is the other episode where they just wanted some fucking food to eat and Ash, like, treated them like they were freaking criminals beyond repair and attacked them?
I think it was the Wobbuffet Village.
Oh, yeah. I think it was.
Professor Oak reveals that he caught a Pidgey on the way here for some reason, and he gust attacks to defeat them, and we get a lesson about how valuable Pidgeys are.
But was I the only one that thought it was super cute that Oak stepped into battle?
It's the first time he's ever done it.
I know. I could care less about Ash doing the whole Pikachu Thunderbolt thing. We've seen that a million times. But we got Oak being like, "Pidgey, use gust," and it was super cute. So yeah, now we can talk about our MVP, LVP, and quotes.
Flipping. Why does the coin flip animation on Google.com take an eternity? All right, I'm Tails and I'm first.
Wait, I thought I was Tails. Are you Tails now? I
guess. Okay, you're Tails and you're first.
Decided that. Sure. It doesn't matter. My MVP is going to be... This is difficult.
Professor Oak's Pidgey.
I'm going to give my MVP to Imposter Oak.
So James.
Yeah, sort of, I guess, in a roundabout way. Because we love Imposter Oak. We wrote a whole fan fiction about him. And James did a decent job of being an Imposter Oak, so... Imposter Oak / James. My LVP is going to be Nurse Joy for being a complete idiot and not realizing that this was not Oak and Mary.
But she's a level 5 poet.
Actually, you know what? Can I change my LVP?
Yeah.
She gets honorary one. Actually, you were going to give it to her, so just do that. But I'm going to give my LVP to Oak, the real Oak, for letting Mary rub her boobs all over him when he's got Delia waiting for him at home.
They are consenting adults.
Does Delia know about this?
Have Delia and Oak gotten together yet?
I guess if there hasn't been an exclusivity conversation, it's fair game.
We don't know the status of what they're up to.
That's true. I guess I can't judge. If Delia's cool with it, then that's fine. If they haven't had the exclusive conversation yet, you can't fault Oak, but I'm operating under the assumption that they're an item, and so Mary is just rubbing her boobage all over him. And he needs to stop that shit real quick. My quote is going to be... Okay, I guess at the end, when Oak reads his poem / haiku, he says, "Wobbuffet, when life's a mystery, it's your answer." And Ash says, "Aw, man, that's a little deep." And Brock says, "Yeah, so deep it's a ditch."
I'm glad the twerps also don't care for haikus, just like I don't.
I mean, that was pretty bad, so...
My turn. My MVP is going to be DJ Mary. For rubbing her boobs all over Oak.
All right.
Good for you, Mary. Get that Oak dick. My LVP is going to be, since you didn't give it to Nurse Joy, I'll give it to Nurse Joy. This is a bad Nurse Joy.
Maybe this Joy was an imposter. Did anybody like...
Ooh, that would have been a twist.
Check on her like credentials?
It was Cassidy.
Oh my goodness.
So my quote is going to be, this is a weird one. The episode starts with the narrator saying... Making good time on their journey towards the Johto League.
Good time?
Making good time on their journey towards the Johto League.
What are we measuring that against? Because
it's been 1 week since you looked at me. No, it's been like forever since we started on this journey to the Johto League. And the narrator saying we're making good time. So my actual quote, because Alex did not respond to the other one, was Jesse saying, "Finally, a town. I could use a rest." And Meow says, "I could use a rest-a-rant."
Ha ha ha. Oh, can I give an honorary quote?
Sure.
Yay. On Oak's radio show, when he says, he gives another of his Pokemon poetry lines, and he says, "Put your fighting faith in Starmie to make sure you're safe from Harmie."
That's supposed to be good poetry.
Is it?
Is that supposed to be good poetry?
Supposed to be good poetry.
No, I think Nurse Joy would be like orgasming over it.
I really hate that Misty didn't have more to add to that because she has a fucking Starmie, but whatever.
Misty doesn't remember she had a Starmie. She didn't remember she had a Starmie when she had it with her.
That's true. Speaking of stars and speaking of Starmie, now we're going to talk about other stars.
More aliens. More the aliens have received Starmie's message and they've come to land.
Giorgio Tsoukalos is here and he's going to talk to us about ancient aliens.
And I'm doing the 30-second summary for Wish Upon a Star Shape.
Ready, Austin?
No, not really.
When you wish upon a star. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, we meet like the Wish.com version of Cassidy and Butch, who are Ken and Mary, who are part of the PMC, the Pokemon Mystery Club. Which, oddly enough, is spelled PKC. So, a Cleffa falls out of a spaceship and lands on Phanpy, and it has to get back to its Clefairy brethren from the Kanto episode with Jigglypuff, and they get it back, and it evolves, and Phanpy cries, and Ken and Mary are...
Time.
Thinkers.
Okay, I have a very disturbingly low amount of bullet points on this episode, but somehow there's a lot to talk about. We are at a nondescript hillside where we have made camp for the night. And we get to see all the Pokemon. They finally let them out of their ball. We get to see Onix and Crobat for a hot second. So that was fun.
Even Goldeen is out and about.
Oh, I missed Goldeen.
Goldeen's just sitting there on the ground.
Goldeen is like one of those Pokemon where like my eyes roll across the screen and it's like a black space. Like I don't see anything there. It just skips over.
You know what? If we were watching the French version, you'd be paying attention for Goldeen.
That's the only time I ever pay attention to Goldeen.
Pousse, 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 pousse.
I just discovered this like a few weeks ago, but it's all I can think about.
Pussy. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this isn't the French Goldeen, so it's the completely inconsequential Goldeen. Oh, Cyndaquil was playing headbutt with Phanpy. That was cute.
Mm.
So yeah, they're sitting there. It's a very nice night. There's a meteor shower or something, and they see a shooting star. And they're like, ooh, we should make a wish. That's exciting. So Misty wishes to catch a water Pokemon that no one's ever seen before.
And we see the silhouette of Mega Gyarados again.
When?
No, I'm making that up.
Oh, I was like, oh shit, I missed it. Brock wishes for a girlfriend. And Ash wishes that he was winning a gym badge because he's a basic. Then they see that the shooting star is actually not a shooting star at all. It's the UFO that looks very familiar. And it crash lands somewhere in the distance. But something flies out of the UFO and lands on Phanpy and knocks it the fuck out and gives it a concussion. It turns out that this mysterious alien creature is a Cleffa. We've never seen that before.
I miss Igglybuff.
We just had Igglybuff.
I know, I prefer Gigglybiff and Gigglybuff over Cleffa.
Those are terrible names. I don't know. I'm a Cleffa fan. I like its weird brown protrusion things on the side of its head. It's cute. And it doesn't have those like demonic red eyes.
No, it has those soulless little beady black eyes that are planning your death as it stares at you.
That's true. So in a shocking turn of events, there's some suspicious people lurking in the bushes, spying on them. But it's not Jesse and James for once. It's some other weirdos. While those two are spying, Misty actually remembers something. If you guys can recall all the way back, and I actually had to refresh my memory because I didn't remember this. It was from episode 62, Clefairy Tales. That's where we met Oswald, the crazy scientist.
Mm.
Not Seymour, the Scientologist. This is a different guy.
Oh yeah, Oswald was with them the last time we saw these Clefairy. So I guess they've killed or abandoned him by this point.
So Oswald, if I remember right, was he the guy that had like the secret decoder ring from the cereal box?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Or something of that ilk, yes.
Yeah, Austin, I guess you're right. Oswald has been devoured or like his body parts used to like power their spaceship or something.
They placed an egg in front of him and a chestburster jumped out, went inside of him, and it emerged from his body violently as a Cleffa.
But actually that makes sense because... if you remember the main Clefairy from that episode with a little flower in its hair or on its head.
Yeah.
I feel like this Cleffa is the offspring of that Clefairy.
That seemed to be implied, yeah.
So, yes. They used Oswald as a blood sacrifice.
It was like a Typhlosion situation.
Oh, God.
And Oswald is the biological father of this
Cleffa. No! Oh God, that's I prefer blood sacrifice.
I do too.
Over that. So that's,
I think that makes a lot more sense with the alien theme.
That's my headcanon. I like your chestburster argument. So the two weirdos from before pop out of the bushes and they run up and they're like, oh my God, we can't believe our luck that we weren't spying on you or anything. We just happen to be here. And they start taking pictures of the Cleffa and they're introduced themselves as Ken and Mary, which I feel like they could have used a different name.
We had two Marys in a row.
I know. It's uninspired.
I mean, DJ Mary is a canon character. I wonder if Ken and Mary are a reference to something.
Are they?
I don't know. That's why I'm wondering.
Can we look it up real quick?
Oh, let's go to Wikipedia and find out.
Look, if you have another source, I'm happy to use it.
Ooh, there's a breakfast restaurant called Ken and Mary's in North Carolina.
We were not paid to advertise for them, but if you want to, we can totally endorse you.
I mean, that's their Japanese names, or Ken and Mary.
I just feel like that's really a weird choice, considering, like you said, we just had a Mary, and there's like 1,000 other names we could have used.
Ooh, I know what they could have been called.
What?
Mulder and Scully.
Oh, that would have been way too on the nose, though.
Yeah. Well, what are their first names?
I can't remember the X-Files. I never really grew up. That was before us.
His name is Fox Mulder.
Fox?
His name is Fox.
Okay, they could have been Dana and Fox.
They could have been, yeah.
That would have been an interesting nod.
But that would have also matched the flip flops. Ken and Mary.
Oh my God, you're so right. Missed opportunity. Mm. Doodle-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Put the X-Files theme there because that's a conspiracy. So, missed opportunity with Dana and Fox. Too bad, so sad. We got Ken and Mary instead. They introduce themselves as the members of the Pokemon Mystery Club, which I'm not really sure what their goals are. I think they're just supposed to be, like, alien conspiracy theory weirdos. Wherever there's a mystery to solve, we're gonna solve it. Ash is very immediately suspicious of them, which, same. And he wonders if they're not really a part of Team Rocket. But at this moment, Team Rocket, well, they can't even fathom being compared to them. They're like, Team Rocket is foul and disgusting, and how very dare you compare us to them. And so the real Team Rocket takes this opportunity to get offended by this, and they also jump out of the bushes, because they were spying too. And so they become arch nemesis. I would say PMC is actually kind of like more scary than Team Rocket, because
They're an unknown element.
They are an unknown element.
You noticed what I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
They spelled PMCPKC.
So what is that?
I have no idea.
Referencing.
I have no idea.
They do the full body, like, representation of the letters, like you would do if you were doing, like, YMCA. So I don't know what the PKC is, but they don't know the name of their own club. So, yeah, they don't really know, like, what PMC's end game is or why they want Cleffa to study it, but they do try, and Ash resolves to stop them because they just can't let this happen. So Fanpy, who has recovered from its concussion, decides to scoop up Cleffa and run off into the woods to get it away from these wackadoodles. So meanwhile, PMC, and like, we come to find out that like, this seemingly is a personal endeavor and they're not actually backed by anybody, but they have in like seemingly endless pockets of money to have funded these gadgets that they have.
I thought the running gag with the briefcase that they can build full-size trucks out of was somewhat funny.
Yeah, like they literally build like a DIY bulldozer out of their suitcase. They build another like Gundam looking thing later, but they use their bulldozer to try to chase down Fampi, but Fampi escapes when he knocks a tree over and crosses the gorge with Cleffa on its back. And Ash and friends sneak by while Team Rocket and PMC are arguing. We finally reach the wreckage of the spaceship, which they're surprised to see even though they've seen it before. The Cleffa reunites with its parent, the Clefairy with the flower on its head.
Flower clip.
Well, yeah, I was about to say feathers, but I was like, wait, that was Igglybuff and we don't talk about that.
I forgot about that.
Whoops. Team Rocket and PMC interrupt with their shenanigans. And Team Rocket somehow is able to transform their Meowth balloon into a mecha abomination thing. And PMC builds another Gundam truck thing. But before they can do much of anything, the Clefairy start tearing their mechas apart and using their machine bits to rebuild their spaceship. They decide to team up to steal the Clefairy, but are blasted away quite easily. We never see them again. And the spaceship starts to take off, but Cleffa is not on board. It's running behind the ship, and it can't jump far enough to get up onto the ship. It might have to stay with Phanpy and friends until it evolves, where it has little wings and it can fly away. And that's it. Phanpy is left heartbroken because it spent all of 10 minutes with Cleffa, and now its friendship is destroyed, and it starts crying. The end.
It sounds like you were not very enthused about this episode, Alex.
Well, you weren't really interjecting.
There was nothing to say.
Exactly. What else
is there to say? It was a chase episode.
It wasn't even exciting chase.
I like the PMC.
I wish we could know more about them. Apparently, they're just two enthusiasts.
Alien hunters.
Yeah, who just use their own money. They're the only members of PMC. I thought this was going to be like a club, like the Pokemon Lovers Club, like with other members, but it's just them.
Typhlosion is their mascot.
The Pokemon Lovers Club.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I really miss the
Pokemon Lovers Club. Sorry, I'm way too focused on that shit.
I know. Austin's been, like, referencing it as much as he can this entire time. Yeah, so do you have anything else you want to add? Please, by all means.
God, I wish I had more to say. I really don't. I liked Phanpy. I think it's cute.
Yeah.
It was its first heartbreak, I guess. Ash says they'll see these Clefairy again. They don't.
There's not a part three to this later.
No, there's not.
Oh, okay. Sorry to disappoint anybody out there who was hoping we'd see them again.
The PMC is going to come back.
Are you fucking serious?
Yes, I'm fucking serious.
Oh my God. You know, on the one hand, they were a little bit too interesting to be like, you know, this is a one-off or whatever. They reminded me a lot of like Team Galactic.
Interesting.
Or alternatively, the Ultra Recon Squad.
Oh, I never played the Ultra Sun all the way through.
Yeah, me neither, but
I need to do that.
They reminded me a lot of them with their, like, trench coats and glasses.
But these people aren't cool. These are just weirdos.
Yeah, these are obviously unhinged people.
I think they're, like, the Bigfoot people who have their own TV show. They're, like,
yeah.
How are you financing this kind of people?
Well, like, okay, so these guys, Ken and Mary, are definitely like that. But Oswald was kind of like a goofball dad type who's just like, I just like, you know, paint little figurines in my, you know, garage and, you know, stick together two soup cans to like make a contraption to hear stuff with. Like, I don't know. He's just like a garage dad, like goofball.
Okay, there's really nothing to say. Sorry. Sorry, PMC. Sorry, Cleffa. Sorry, Phanpy. Sorry, Goldine. Sorry to everyone and everything.
I mean, I guess they just felt like they had to have a Cleffa episode, and like, what do you do? You know, to be honest, I guess I'm glad that they used this opportunity to do a callback to an earlier episode. Like, I think
right. That
was the most exciting part of this. They could have easily done a standalone Cleffa thing, but at least we have some semblance of a continuity plot.
Ken and Mary are no Butch and Cassidy, sorry to say.
No, they're not.
MVP LB in quote. Let's move on. Let's go to space.
Let's wish to get out of here.
Yeah, that's a much better pun. Thank you.
Who's first? Why don't you go first? I did it last time.
No, we have to flip the coin.
Okay, we flip the coin then.
I go first.
Well then.
My MVP is going to be Phanpy because it was cute and it was determined and it knocked over a tree somehow. And I don't know. I like it. My LVP, this is really the only episode Phanpy ever gets outside of its hatching episode.
Well, what about when it evolves?
Well, spoilers.
Oh, sorry. This whole episode has been about spoilers, all right? I don't care.
Okay, fair enough. It's the only episode it gets in Johto. How about that?
Wow.
What?
That's fucking nuts, considering. All right.
Fuck Phanpy. We gotta pay attention to Larvitar.
Larvitar is good.
Larvitar's better.
Yeah,
sorry, Phanpy.
Sorry.
Okay, anyway, my LVP is going to be Larvitar for stealing all the spotlight from Phanpy. How about that?
Oh, I thought you were going to give it to me for interrupting you incessantly in this entire episode.
No, I'm used to that.
Oh, good.
My quote. I don't think I even had a single quote.
I didn't either. Damn it. I was hoping you would.
Okay, no, I have a quote. it's going to be the entire last scene of the episode where we get a vignette of PMC investigating crop circles.
Okay.
And it turns out, Mary says, "These mysterious crop circles have made their appearance in fields for years. If you would listen to the research, it would lead you to believe that they were left behind by landing UFOs." And Ken says, "When in fact they are shaped by a Snorlax turning in its sleep," which has layers to it.
Layers?
It has layers, because Mary seems to think that the mainstream media of research claims that they are UFOs leaving crop circles.
Wait, the mainstream media thinks it's UFOs?
That's what Mary says.
Okay, so it's reversed? If you would listen
to research.
Yeah, but is this her, like, weird little internet hole of research, or...
I guess. I think they inadvertently have discovered an actual nature phenomena of Snorlax leaving crop circles because they're too alternative to think that landing UFOs make crop circles. I don't know. There's a lot going on.
Okay, with Mary. All right. So are we to then assume that in the Pokemon world, the conspiracies are actually the true fact? Because you have Oak going on about fucking Starmie space beams before, and then you've got Mary in this episode claiming that the true research would have you believe that it's fucking UFOs leaving the circles, but the more mundane and mysterious explanation is the Snorlax. Do I have that right?
In my mind. I think so. There's too much happening. So I think that's right.
The mundane is the conspiracy in this world.
We are in post-modernism.
Okay.
With this one line of dialogue.
You should have told me this was going to get wacky because, you know, we need some like fucking gummies or something for this. I don't know. We need some mushrooms.
Okay, what's your MVP and LVP in quote?
I don't even know. My LVP is the writers for not writing good enough quotes for me to have this episode because I have, like, none except for the end. I have, like,
oh, sorry, one. I stole it.
No, I have the end. I did write down one. But yeah, not a winner. I'm so sorry. Writers, please do better next time. My MVP is... Fuck, my MVP is going to be the Clefairy for doing their blood sacrifice so that Cleffa can exist.
I thought it was going to be Onyx.
Oh, yeah. Onyx for appearing for 1 second.
All right. What's this amazing quote?
It's terrible, actually. I had nothing the whole time except for I went back and I was like, I need to find something. So I picked out the very end where the narrator says, "Do Cleffa and Clefairy truly come from outer space? We may truly never know." As they fly away in a spaceship.
We may truly never know.
I feel like it's safe to say that if a creature is flying around in a spaceship, they come from outer space.
I still think that spaceship is man-made.
But the Clefairy's made it.
It's Clefairy man-made.
You
see, Alex, there was a time when the lines between Pokemon and human were blurred.
There was a time where Austin wishes... A man wishes,
fucked a Clefairy and God. Made a spaceship out of...
There was a time where Spare Austin hearts. Was obsessed with the Typhlosion story. Well, to be honest, I was going to say, you're probably right. I mean, people were going around fucking Pokemon left and right, so somebody probably did fuck a Clefairy at some point.
All right, next week we're going to fuck a Clefairy. And then what we're going to do is something a little different for Halloween.
Oh my God, this is so exciting, you guys.
This has nothing whatsoever to do with Pokemon, by the way. We are like completely off the rails.
I feel like we've talked about this before. Maybe not. Have we? Maybe off pod. This idea has been floating around in our heads for a while, so courtesy of Jacob, he suggested this.
All right, we're going to watch the first two episodes of the US dub of Ghost Stories.
Oh.
Which is some random anime. It has nothing to do with anything. But Pokemon has no Halloween content, so we got to be creative.
If you're not familiar with Ghost Stories, I implore you to look it up. It'll be a fun one. I know some of you guys out there may skip when we do non-Pokemon related episodes, but this one is going to be a ball of fun.
Okay, apparently the episodes are called, according to Wikipedia, "Tonight the Spirits Will Be Resurrected."
Ooh.
"And a hand reaches out from the toilet." Oh my God.
The dichotomy of those two episodes.
Okay, we're going to find out if they mean the literal toilet or if they mean like the room, like the wash closet, the restroom.
Oh, like
bathroom.
Like the British people say, I have to go to the toilet.
That's what we're doing next week. Be here with us or don't. It's fine. Just leave 5 stars on your way out.
Yeah. Leave 5 Cleffa shapes.
Ooh, yes. Leave, should that be our episode title?
Leave 5 Cleffa shapes.
Leave 5 star shapes.
Maybe. Actually, that's not bad.
We'll discuss it.
Okay. All right, you guys. Wow, that was insane. Thank you so much for sticking around this long. But we would love it if you guys got in touch with us. We always welcome feedback, questions, comments, whatever. You can get in touch with us at our email at outofthedryingpan. No, I said it wrong. outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. I'm jumping the gun. outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, that is where you can find us at outofthedryingpan. Again, at Out of the Drying Pan, or our Instagram, at Out of the Drying Pan. We also have a Patreon. If you like what we do and would like to support us and our content here, you can choose to do so over on our Patreon. So go ahead and check that out, link in the description. And as always, we would like to thank you all for listening, and we hope to see you next week for our Halloween edition of Out of the Drying Pan as the journey continues.